you give them something to eat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. We continue from last Sunday, St. Matthew's Gospel, watching Jesus unveil his divine identity, his powers to heal, to restore, even to raise the dead, derive from a simple, though most profound fact, while we have life, he alone is life. He is the Creator, and proceeding from him is the mind-bending miracle that he alone can bring about. Animate, stirring, sentient, holy life. I am filled with wonder still as an old man, as the humble ant stands upon my palm. He looks to the left, he looks to the right, he preens and grooms himself. We humans must forever stand back in reverence. For this feat we shall never attain. Clunky robots? Yes. Life? No. We can participate, cooperate, but be sure of this, even the ingredients of life are far beyond our slender powers of understanding and our primitive technology. Is this not amazing? Far away from anything we can conceive, but still more confounding is our lack of reverence for this holy magic. But that is a whole other homily. Today, Jesus is alone in the wilderness with the multitudes. How many are there? 5,000 men besides women and children, says the gospel. Were there over 40,000, given the average size of 8 children and 2 parents, together with some unmarried men and women? Possibly. Yet he feeds them all so that they ate and were filled, Matthew 14:20. With 12 baskets of bread left over, perhaps a fitting repost to his unbelieving 12 disciples. Jesus quite obviously reprises his provision of manna for the people Israel, which happened in the Sinai wilderness many years ago. But lest we be transported into an abstraction, stepping into the storied pages of Israel's foundation legend, as pleasant and edifying as that would be, he makes it real for the disciples, laying the challenge at their feet. Now, recall that the disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate. Get rid of the people. It is past time that they should leave. And Jesus, I imagine, with some indignance, since they don't even think of sharing anything with the people, says, you give them something to eat. You see, he forces them to take the full measure of what he is about to do. This is necessary in teaching, by the way. How often have I told my students something truly amazing. And they look out the window and they yawn and, you know, they chew bubble gum. But if I ask them to solve that problem and just stand silent in front of the room, they begin to venture. Well, maybe we could do it this way. And I'll say, well, that way is an interesting way to proceed, and I'll recite its many merits, but I'll show them the dead end. And after we do five of those, I say, or we could, the very thing that I told them, which drew yawns a little while ago, they receive as five golden coins. You see, Jesus must say to them, you give them something to eat. They look at each other. They hem and haw. And then he performs the miracle which only God could do. He feeds them all. The disciples said, we have here only five loaves and two fish. Enough to say, feed a large family. But if this is the way ahead, which family is to eat? Having selected the lucky family, the disciples might have assured that they are able to complete the human scale task of denying themselves. They're going to fast and feed a family. They will wait at table. This would be a godly act, a sanctifying act, uniting provider with those provisioned, and we might say, acting in God's name, according to the same Gospel of St. Matthew, for I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was a hungered, and you gave me to eat. But one family is not chosen from among the tens of thousands of families present. They all have been chosen. They all have been singled out as being that most beloved. And the grace that God bestows upon each family in no wise subtracts from the divine favor received by every other family. Isn't this the miracle which we constantly experience, which is, we might say, the everyday experience of God? We have known it from our birth. We feel his holy presence. Each boy and girl does. And this no wise subtracts from each one's sense of limitless abundance and the power of grace. I mean, did you ever look out on the world, seeing its beauty? Did you ever look out on a scene, seeing the divine shimmer, and then begrudge somebody else because that was their scene too? I'm an identical twin. I have known from the beginning that everything I get is shared by somebody else, but we all have that ability. We are all born with the natural ability to receive something and give thanks. That is all. We learn in St. Matthew's Gospel, but the very hairs of our heads are numbered by the Father. Such is his solicitude. And we know the truth of this going forward in life constantly, constantly in his care, constantly watched, constantly guided, constantly loved, constantly provided for. We are, in a sense, alone with him. Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You see, we are meant to be alone with him. Uncanny coincidence is his hallmark. And we learn that the Father is the master of all timings, Matthew 24:36. We say that coincidence, uncanny coincidence, is the hallmark of God. But this is impossible. Do we say that each of us is the center of the universe? For if he is orchestrating all of the events around us, such as they dovetail into one brilliant epiphany, it must be that we are the center of the universe. How often I have been invited to speak at a church and been taken aside later by a parishioner, or perhaps several parishioners in sequence, who have told me that they have been struggling with something urgent and that my sermon had spoken to the very particulars of their struggle, in a sense on liberating them, unlocking a door. How could I have been privy to all of these details? It was startling, perhaps unnerving. But let me take another example. You see, many years ago, I can still recall the day, I was desperate for a certain sum of money. It was a large sum, and a deadline was approaching, for I was putting a relative through medical school. I just didn't see how I could lay my hands on it. I had already sold my high school ring, my stamp collection, my coin collection. I just didn't see how I could get it. I sat pondering in my office at Bell Labs. I couldn't work. And my eyes happened to fall on a piece of paper on my desk. And the piece of paper said, "Call Prudential." It wasn't a suggestion, you see, it was a command. Call Prudential. So I did, being a godly man. And someone appeared at my home to discuss a home equity loan. There was an attractive grace about him. I would say a certain radiance. Now, home equity is an easy thing to calculate. You know, we do comps with other pieces of real estate. And I knew that my home's available value fell far short of the sum that I needed. But I went through the steps anyway. Call Prudential. And when I was finally notified of the sum that I was to be awarded, it turned out to be, as God is my witness, the exact sum that I needed to the dollar. So awed was a local priest when he heard this story that he asked permission to preach on it. Naturally, he wanted to show me all of the pieces of paper. He was in awe. C.S. Lewis has a word for this. It's not a coincidence. It's a God incidence. So I ask you again, am I the center of the universe? And the answer is yes. And so is everyone else. Like the feeding of the multitude, each person ate to his fill, and in a way that did not subtract from the favor bestowed on anyone else. You see, the kingdom of heaven, and this is hard to imagine for us, is not a zero-sum game. There are limitless rewards for everybody. We are all provided with a life lesson teaching this very principle concerning God's solicitous love. It is called family. Consider the large family. Sister Mary Ann had 6 siblings. Sister Mary Martha had 12. Now, each one of those boys and girls knew that they were the apple of mother and father's eye. They knew that theirs was the special place under their wing. It did not matter that mother and father loved all of the children. In fact, this made their love even better. For therefore, it was more decent and somehow more right, and certainly somehow more self-sacrificing and holy. And this is our God. He is decent and right and good, whose power far exceeds all the armies on earth, but is gentle and caring, with his eye even on the sparrow. Yes, the world is filled with little dramas, and as many dramas as there are, each person is the protagonist of their drama. How many people are there on earth? That many dramas. And how many are protagonists in each one? There is one. Yet, they do not distract from each other. They do not bruise each other. Each is a spellbinding story to the God who watches with all of his attention. And all are held safely in the palm of his hand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.